In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I wish you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This hymn just evokes mental images of any number of installations, graduations, the processional as it's sung, and even today, as we will pray in a few moments for the Schultz family, as Jacob and Rebecca have their little daughter Gloria baptized at his home congregation in Wood River, Illinois. His brother will be installed there as their pastor as well. Some of you know that Jacob and David's father, Martin, was the pastor there, and he died. While serving the Lord, he passed away in the pulpit a little over a year ago. So I'm sure, I could be wrong, I'm willing to be wrong. It's very likely that this hymn would be sung on such a day and such a celebration as that, and we will be praying for them in just a few moments. That's the way it is. I didn't really come up with that as an introduction until I was on the way in. I'll share my original introduction with you in just a moment. But that's the way it is. I was listening to the radio on the way in. I heard a song, and it was magnifying God, and it just simply talked about, that's the way it is. You are God, and that's the way it is. So I have an invitation for you this morning. The invitation is that you set aside the need for explanation, and you take on the attitude of being one who is receiving proclamation. And then you have a mental image, I think, that might help you. And that's the mental image of one who is simply a receiver. If you want to think of Yadier Molina in his healthier days, and hopefully healthy days to come, sitting behind home plate trying to catch that 105-mile fastball that whatever his name is, is it Hicks? Is he the guy with the fireball? Receiving. Being at the receiving end of what those hurlers are bringing to you. Or maybe your better picture is of that wide receiver. And your job is very simple. Catch the ball. Receive the ball. Your job this morning, I hope, is very simple. Receive what it is that God's word has to bring to you. Receive the blessings of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even as we receive the blessing of those that have given their lives in our stead, in our place, defending our nation, and we receive the benefits of the freedom that was purchased at the cost of their blood. I want you to receive this morning the benefits of the God, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who shed blood for you on that cross. Now, I want you to engage with me. I want you to pay real special attention to a verse that's very well known throughout Christendom. It's a verse that shows up on bumper stickers. It's a verse that shows up on posters and billboards. It's a verse that back in the day when they could still do this, it would show up in the end zone of NFL games on television. John chapter 3, what? 16, right? And my guess is, and this is not to embarrass those of you who can't, but if you can, I'm going to guess that if I start this, you can all speak this with me. And if you can, please do that, all right? For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Well done. I didn't even have to participate in that part. Now, from memory, John 3:17. And you laugh. For God did not... don't have it, huh? All right, here it is. John 3:16 gets all this press, gets all this splash. But listen now to what John 3:17 has to say. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn... Oh, you got that part of it, the world, right? But to save the world through him. So here's the good news. Even though you can't do this verse from memory, you've got the concept. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but he sent his Son to save the world through him. But I find it fascinating that my first real aha moment with John 3:17 happened at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, circa 1986, right around Christmas time. And the reason this is crystallized in my memory is because it was my daughter who was speaking the words. She's about 4 years old at that time, and she had to memorize her little Christmas verse, and somebody had the easy one right in front of her. Probably their name started with an H or an L or something like that. And that individual recited John chapter 3:16. And then I'm listening, mostly because it's my daughter, right? But for some reason, on that particular day, she has John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And I went, oh, where has that verse been all my life? Although the very simple answer is it's been right where God put it all that time. But it's always that evidence of that living, breathing word of God that every time you go back to it or every time that you hear it, it has something to say to you. And for the first time in my life, the impact of John 3:17 hit me. And I'm hoping that maybe for some of you, maybe this is the first time in your life that John 3:17 is going to hit you. Because all wrapped up in this is what we get. We get God. That's the way it is. We get God at work, not coming into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And granted, there's a lot for which God could have condemned the world. But God the Father, way, way back in the beginning, looked at the world at the point of sin, at that point that we let sin enter into this world, and he decided, I'm not going to condemn the whole world. I am going to save the world. And I'm going to send my son in such a way that he will save the world. Just work backwards with me a little bit and see God at work. Just over these last few weeks, as we've talked about the rise of the church, this week, Holy Trinity, we celebrate that fullness, the wholeness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost, that coming of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God, that we call him the third person of the Trinity, who shows up in us. In a special way, in such a way that God can be at work in any one of us, all at the same time. Who is the Spirit of the one who ascended just 10 days before that, the week before that, we celebrated Ascension. We celebrated as the disciples saw him go away into heaven, but we celebrated also because we knew that it was the peas and carrots verse of the Bible. It's good for you that I go away. It's good for you that I go away because as Jesus, while I could suffer and die in this flesh and blood that is risen from the dead, still is confined by time and space. You want to be with me, you're going to have to come to me. I'm going to give me to you in such a way that I come to you, Son and Holy Spirit. But they are the gift of the Father. Call that prayer of Jesus on the night that he's betrayed, and he prays that we might be one, as he and the Father are one. And he lets his disciples know that this Comforter, this Spirit is going to come and not speak anything that has not been given to him by that Heavenly Father. That's the way it is. That is our God at work. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not sending a son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And that's great good news. Awesome. Good news. For people like a lady I talked to this week, sitting in her home, talking about faith, talking about what it means to be a part of Concordia, talking about how it is that, you know, sometimes, Pastor, I just don't know whether I'm being good enough. I mean, I really try to do the best I can. I try to serve other people and so forth. Good news. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Good news. Guess what? I don't do enough either. But Jesus did. And he is there for you. It's good news for people like my dad. People like my dad, and I've probably told you this before, it wasn't like my dad and I engaged in long theological conversations. Ever. He's a farmer. His kid grew up to be a pastor. Our paths kind of diverged. Not our love, but our paths, but not terribly long ago, maybe 10 years ago-ish. We were sitting in their living room there in the little west side of Iowa, and I don't even remember how the subject came up. But he said, you know, David, sometimes I just don't know. Sometimes I just don't know whether I've done enough. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Dad, I know one thing for sure. I haven't done enough. Jesus has. That's the way it is. That's the way our God designed it. And I don't even know if the conversation went that long. Dad, I haven't either, but Jesus has. And that is the great good news for you and me this morning. Because chances are that there are those of you who sit here, you may have been a Christian all of your life. You might be Lutheran all of your life. And yet when push comes to shove, and Satan's the one doing the shoving, and he's shoving at you with fear and doubt and anguish and causing you to bring up doubts in your minds about whether or not you have done enough. I can't see how I could ever be good enough to deserve the love of this God. Can he really, who he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, care enough about one like me? God so loved the world, say this part with me, sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here endeth sermon number one. Sermon number two, I promised you there would be math this morning. Here's the math. And I only want you to receive it. Because while God has placed into this world the laws of mathematics and so forth, don't forget who he is. And that's how it is that he is beyond that. I get to stand before couples and I get to explain divine mathematics to them, or at least proclaim it. I don't think I can explain it, but I can proclaim it to them. That in God's design, the design of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when you put one man and one woman together, you get one flesh. One plus one equals one. That's divine mathematics. When you put one Son, one Savior, one Word that became flesh, and put that flesh upon the cross, that one flesh substitutes for the sin of all mankind, all womankind, all people. Because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. One for all. And so this morning the invitation for you is to contemplate, yes indeed, meditate on what it means that we have a God who comes to us, one Father plus one Son plus one Holy Spirit, equaling one God. My invitation to you this morning is to celebrate that our God is not stingy with his grace and his love, but he gives us his whole self. Couldn't say that sentence. Gives to us his whole self as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that we depart this morning not only with a peace that is beyond human understanding, but I send you on your way this morning in the peace of the God who is beyond. Who is beyond and yet who draws near in all his fullness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.